what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
When you look around our world today and you look at people relating to people, and you consider the number of relationships that take place in our world, what do you think is the most unique, set-aside, special relationship of any other? Is it a mother with her daughter? Is it a father and his son? Is it a band of brothers that have served together, soldiers that have served together in a war and survived? Is it the family of God, spending time together, gathering for worship, loving each other? Is it a best friend that you've known since elementary school? You've done decades of life together, highs and lows, knowing each other and walking with each other through life. Today, I want to show you that marriage is that relationship that is like no other, that is in a category unto itself, because God calls it a covenant relationship that leads to oneness. I'm Brad Bigney, and you're listening to Thrive. So we talked about marriage being good, but now I want you to understand that marriage is a covenant relationship. That's not said about any other relationship, regardless of how special it is and what a blessing it can be. Marriage is a covenant relationship for life between one woman and one man. That's how God gives it to us in the book of Genesis. And that's how Jesus reiterates it in Matthew 19. Jesus says in Matthew 19, verse 6, "So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." Mother-daughter does not become one flesh. Father-son does not become one flesh. Band of brothers does not become one flesh. This wording is only talked about regarding marriage. And that's why John Piper tells us in his excellent book, if you want to know the good marriage book, I talked about Gary Thomas's book, Sacred Marriage. Another great one that drives this point home to us is John Piper's book, This Momentary Marriage. Listen to what he says. He says, "Staying married is not mainly about staying in love, but about keeping covenant. By this unwavering covenant keeping, the possibility of being profoundly in love in 40 years is much greater than if you think the task of marriage is first staying in love. Staying in love isn't the first task of marriage. It is a happy overflow of covenant keeping for Christ's sake." Oh, that is so good, because we live in a world that lives by its feelings. Oh, if you don't feel it, you shouldn't do it. If you don't feel it, you should end it. Out of fear that I don't want to be a hypocrite. Oh, listen, continuing in your marriage because you made a commitment before God and your friends and family as a covenant is not being a hypocrite. It's being faithful. And you're also walking by faith and allowing God time to work to see what he can do. Great happiness and real love grows through the years in the context of covenant keeping. Because each one of you understands, I'm not going to hit the exit door as soon as I don't feel something. I'm not going to hit the exit door as soon as it gets hard. I'm not going to hit the exit door as soon as I get disappointed or, quote, all my felt needs aren't met. Covenant keeping is what allows a marriage to actually begin to thrive and grow in love. Let me give you three words that I think capture the heart of what the marriage covenant is all about and why marriage is unlike any other earthly relationship. You ready? Three words: leave, cleave, and weave. A marriage is comprised of a man and woman who leave their mother and father. they choose to cleave to another man or woman in marriage, and then they stay there. They stay faithful. They don't move. They don't depart. And they give God time to weave a lifelong marriage together, a tapestry that, yes, will include some dark threads, but yes, will include some joyful, mountaintop, shimmering, bright threads. You leave your mother and father. You cleave to another man or woman where you say, I do. And then over time, you begin to weave a life together. See, marriage involves one man and one woman leaving father and mother. In Matthew 19:5, Jesus said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And I want you to understand, leaving, when I talk about this, this word I want you to get a hold of, is more than geographical in nature. So it doesn't just mean you leave your mom and dad's home and you go live with your new husband or your wife. You might stay in the basement. I hope you don't, but you could be in the basement of your parents. I know today often there's reasons for that. We're building a home or we can't find affordable housing. Being in the same geographic location is not a violation of what I'm talking about. You can actually leave geographically and not do what I'm talking about, because this kind of leaving, what I'm talking about is you have broken ties in a helpful, healthy way with your mom and dad, that they are no longer your first priority or allegiance. I don't look to them first. I don't respond to them first. I have a new priority and a new allegiance to my spouse. In other words, let me give you an acrostic, TPT. You begin in a relationship with your mom and dad that is temporary. You will not always be in their home with them as your authority. It's temporary. When you leave their home and you say, I do to a man or woman, that is now a permanent relationship. And if God blesses you then with children who are in your home and under your authority, that will be a temporary relationship, because the end game is for them to launch and leave, and they begin the whole process. TPT. Temporary, permanent, temporary. And I hope you can already see or hear as I describe this where people get it wrong. There are women, moms sometimes, that treat their relationship with the child as if this is permanent. Don't hear me saying you'll stop being their mom. Once a mom, always a mom. But what I'm talking about is priorities and a sense of what comes first. This parent-child relationship is temporary in priority. When they're in your home, it takes a lot of time. Kids take a lot of time. But you got to have in mind, it's the marriage relationship that is a covenant, that is the priority relationship. And the way you relate to each other should reflect that. In other words, sometimes I'll hear a mom, especially, I'm going to pick on moms for a minute, say something like this, oh, we've never left the children with anyone, as if it's a badge of honor. Oh, listen to me, I don't think that's something to be proud of. During those child-rearing years, you should work hard, scrape together some money, find somebody that you trust that you could leave the kids with so that you two can have a date without the kids, because that marriage relationship is the covenant. It's permanent. Again, I'm going to step on some toes. You shouldn't be going out to eat and it's always still with the kids, and they're screaming and they're saying what they want and they're taking up your time and they're knocking something over. You need to have a date where you talk to each other and where you're reminded, we have a covenant, permanent relationship that takes priority. Even in the early days of our marriage, we had almost no money and we would still do a once a month date, and we would go out and we would leave the kids with a box pizza. And I still remember them at the top of the stairs sometimes saying, not fair, not fair, because we never went out to eat. We didn't have money to take seven people out to eat. I had five kids. And I would pull Vicky over close to me and kiss her right on the mouth. And they're like, oh! And I'd say, she was my wife before she became your mother. And we're going on a date. That's good for the kids to see. Oh, mom and dad love each other. And it's good for you two to not lose sight of what is the permanent covenant relationship. Because here's how people get it wrong. What happens? And the world has titles and little labels for this. Empty nest syndrome. What is that? That's a mom who doesn't know who she is and doesn't know what to do with herself after the kids launch because she was so consumed with just wiping noses, cutting crust off of sandwiches, packing little lunches, bathing people. She didn't date her husband. They didn't go for a walk. They didn't talk. They didn't have special things they looked forward together. And now she doesn't know who she is. Mother is a high calling, but you should never lose yourself in motherhood as if it is the permanent only relationship that matters. There's a marriage that's the permanent covenant relationship. And so obeying what the scripture actually teaches means you should make time to cultivate your marriage, even in those early child rearing years when it can be a challenge to come up with the money, to come up with the babysitter, to come up with the time, but it is worth it. We're talking about how marriage is good and now how marriage is unlike any other relationship. It's a covenant, one flesh relationship for life that is unlike any other relationship in this world. You're listening to Thrive, and I'm Brad Bigney. And when we pick it back up, we're going to unpack some more what leave, cleave, and weave looks like.
And we will be back with more from Pastor Brad Bigney in just a moment as he continues to talk about building a thriving marriage. And this week, you know, it really kind of hit home with me. We're all creatures of habit, right? We get in our routines and we do try to do the same things every single day. And when that gets out of whack, well, our whole world gets out of whack. And habits, something that shapes our marriages more than we realize, which is exactly why I want to tell you about a book by one of our fellows, Dr. Greg Gifford. It's not just another self-help book that's gathering dust on your shelf. Dr. Gifford dives deep into how our heart attitudes influence our daily habits and how those habits circle back to shape our hearts. Those little habits in your marriage, like checking your phone instead of making eye contact with your wife, or choosing to watch TV instead of having meaningful conversation, those types of things that seem so insignificant to us are actually very revealing to something much deeper about your heart. Pick up Hearts and Habits right now. It's available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. It's by Dr. Greg Gifford. And speaking of changes, have you heard about the Fortis Plus app? If you have not downloaded it and signed up for it, oh man, you are missing out. It is completely free. There's no subscription models, and it is packed with hundreds and hundreds of hours of audio and video content that will help you build better habits in your marriage and in every area of your life. You'll also get 7 new posts every single day, including hot takes that are loaded daily. But wait, there's more. I know I sound like an infomercial, but I'm genuinely excited about this. When you become a Fortis Insider, which you can do at fortisinstitute.org, you're going to receive fresh content right to your inbox every single day. I told you about the 7 new pieces of content that we're loading every single day. Well, we'll also email you about it if you sign up to become a Fortis Insider. Check it out at fortisinstitute.org. And also, while you're there, we need you. You know, we can't do this alone. And so while you're at fortisinstitute.org, would you look into becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner and stand firm with us as we try to provide biblical truth in a culture that desperately needs it? Your support enables us to reach more people with God's word in innovative and impactful ways. So just visit fortisinstitute.org to learn more about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. And now let's get back to Pastor Brad Bigney as he continues to help couples not just survive, but truly thrive in their marriages. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
All right, we've been talking about how marriage is a covenant relationship, unlike any other earthly relationship. And I've given you 3 words to get your head around regarding this: leave, cleave, and weave. So for you to recognize the priority of marriage as the covenant permanent relationship, you need to understand what it means to leave your mother and father. And I'm talking about more than geography. They can live on the other side of the country, and you can still violate this. because your first response is to your mom, and your mom makes you feel guilty and comes across as, oh, your allegiance should be to me. I watch it especially with moms and their sons. They don't say it out loud, but I think they're threatened by this new woman in his life, and she just doesn't quite know what to do with the fact that there's another woman in his life, and she wants to still be the queen bee. And I'm telling you what, it wreaks havoc on that marriage. Does she know more than this young new wife? Absolutely. But I mean, do I know more than this young man that's married my daughter? Absolutely. But when you understand what the scriptures say about covenant, marriage, and one flesh, you don't want to get in the way. You don't want to cause trouble. Oh, in my counseling, I have run into this repeatedly, where some of the biggest trouble is a mom or a dad that is interfering in the marriage, that it still comes swooping in and is either telling them what they should do about everything or expecting them to keep first allegiance and first love towards them, towards them, towards them. Here's what it sounds like. I've been counseling before, and I've been sitting with couples who are in their 50s. They are in their 50s. That means his parents are in their late 70s or maybe 80s. And she looks at me and says, his mom still calls me that girl. That girl. Doesn't call me by my name. That's disrespectful. And here's what I hear. I hear it all the time. And he sits there and he says to me, ah, it's my mom. That's my mom. You got to understand, that's my mom. No. Here's what you need to understand. You need to talk to your mom. And guys don't want to do it. They don't want to upset their mom. But I say it's not on her to say something back to your mom. You should be the loving servant leader, and you need to lead the way. God's called you to be the leader, and you sort this out with your mom. Don't embarrass your mom necessarily right there at the Thanksgiving dinner table, but you should call your mom later or get together with your mom and say, Mom, can I get your help on something? When we're together, you speak disrespectfully towards my wife, Cindy. You realize you don't even call her by name. You talk down to her. You put her down publicly. I need your help. I'm asking you to stop doing that. And I'm going to try to help you by pointing it out when you do it. I'll say, Mom, right now, you're doing it. That's what it means to practice leave. So you got to practice it on your end when you get married, that you're not overly still running to your dad, running to your mom first. The two of you as a couple should first pray together and say, God, what should we do? And then together, if you want to get counsel, there's wisdom in that, then together decide you're going to talk to your dad, or you're going to talk to her dad or her mom and dad. What isn't good, what violates the biblical principle I'm bringing you, is when you sit down together and your spouse discovers you've already talked to your dad, you've already talked to your mom, they've already told you what they think, and he is now saying, here's what we need to do because my parents said so. That's not practicing the biblical principle of covenant, that you are to leave mother and father. I can't tell you how many times I've had a mom who is causing trouble in this young marriage, and she is going ballistic on me and saying, you don't understand. I birthed him. I carried him. I birthed him. And she says it over and over, and I let her take a breath, because here's what one of the biggest conflicts is, and this is what the conflict was in her case. Holidays. Oh, listen to me, moms. Let me plead with you. Do not become a problem and cause trouble for your son or daughter who got married because you dig your heels in and say, hey, we always celebrated Christmas together on Christmas Day, and I expect him to be here just like he always was on Christmas Day. Well, guess what? He married a woman. What if they had already always celebrated growing up on Christmas Day? How are we going to solve this? And I've got moms who just refuse to see it. You realize there's another mom on the other end of this equation now. She loves her daughter just as much as you love your son. She's trying to sort out, how do I see them now at Christmas time? This is new for all of us, but the most helpful and loving thing you could do is say, I don't want to be a problem. We're not going to go to war. I'll do whatever would be most useful. And listen, I'm not just telling you what you ought to do. We're living this. So right now, Vicky and I have 5 kids and 4 of them are now married. So can you imagine how we've had to renegotiate and figure out how do we even do Easter now? How do we do Christmas? Of course, we used to get together with our kids after Easter services that very Easter Sunday afternoon. Boom, baby. Well, guess what? My kids now have spouses who have families. And so sometimes we end up doing Easter, quote, dinner the day before on Saturday because it's more convenient for everybody. We just want to be with our kids. It doesn't have to be on Easter. Same way with Christmas. We've just tried to sort it out. We send out a text or an email. When can we all get together and celebrate Christmas? What would work for each one of you? Talk to your other families, your spouse's family. You want to recognize covenant, one flesh, permanent relationship, and not be a problem. Be helpful with this. Here's how I've handled this even with the guys that have married our daughters. I remember as my youngest got married and he took us out for dinner, Vicky and I, to ask if he could marry her. And of course, we asked a few questions, but then we said yes. But this is what I've done with all of my sons-in-laws. I looked at him. I leaned across from my chicken marsala there at Carrabba's, and I said, Blake, here's how this is going to look moving forward when you marry my Sarah. Vicky and I will now be on a consultant basis. We will not come swooping in and tell you what we think about the house you're about to buy or the decision you're about to make or the job or holidays. Unless you ask us, we will not tell you what we think you should do. And then I lean across the table and I look at him even closer and I say, trust me, I always have a thought. If you will ask me, I will tell you. But if you don't ask, we will not interfere. Oh, but what I'm talking about is not easy to do if you've already formed the bad habit of interfering. We're talking about marriage being a covenant relationship that is best captured by 3 words: leave, cleave, and weave. And the leaving part means that a young man and woman, as they say, I do, leave their first allegiance to their parents, being under their authority and looking to them first for what do they think, what do they want, as well as affections and love. Leave. If that isn't done well, there can be massive problems in the marriage that drag on for decades. People can be in their 40s and 50s, and because they have not left their parents or their parents have not let them leave, there can be conflict and turmoil, and it has to do with a violation of this principle. What about cleave? Well, Matthew 19:5 says, therefore, a man and woman, man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. What's entailed with cleave is that you don't just do this for a little bit and say, let's find out if this works well. And if it doesn't go well, we'll just chuck it. You hold on. You hold fast. Leave your mom and dad. Hold fast to this new relationship. And then weave a lifetime of doing life together. It takes time. People just, you know, all good things take some time. People just need to give marriage some time. And so that's what weave is about. That your lives begin to be woven together, but this doesn't happen in a weekend. It doesn't happen in 3 years. And some of that weaving takes place with both highs and lows. If you think of a tapestry, think in terms of dark threads as well as bright, colorful threads. All of it ends up comprising your marriage. Leave, cleave, and then weave a new life together. And this is best characterized, the way we want to see it is if you could picture each other standing back to back, you're both standing back to back, you're going in different directions in life. That's not a life that's woven together. An improvement is standing side by side, facing forward. We have some shared goals. We take the kids to sports. We work on the house. We've got some dreams. We've got some financial goals, but that's still not best. What we're wanting is face to face. If you stood and looked at each other face to face, that captures well what we're going after. Leave, cleave, and then weave a life together. You're listening to Thrive. I'm Brad Bigney, and we're talking about what would keep our marriages more than just barely alive. What would make them thrive?
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.